always think about Jesus when I hear that song, sing that song. Sent out the 70. Well, they come back hooping and hollering, you know, carrying on. And said, Lord, the demons were subject to us. We was a kick in the devil. Jesus said, boys, I want to tell you something. He said, I saw Satan falling his lightning from heaven. And I saw the big daddy kick that. He said, I would advise you not to rejoice a whole lot on that. He said, I can tell you something you can rejoice in. He said, you can rejoice because your name's written. I looked out here at some of you, and I wondered if you even knew your own name while you was looking. My goodness. I don't see how you can sit still. Amen. If you can't shout on that, then you're down to nothing.
Go ahead, preacher.
You say, I don't feel like it. Jesus didn't say if you feel like it. He said, shout because your name is written in heaven. And if he said it, I'm going to do it. Amen. Thank God. If he put his stamp on it, it's all right. Amen. You say, well, I don't shout. Yeah, I can tell. It wouldn't hurt you. Break out of the shell a little bit.
Go ahead.
Amen. They already know you're here. They done seen your car. Amen. So let's praise God, folks. Count me. My Lord. Goodness. Lord, a minute. Climbing them steel poles out there. Amen. Praise God for what God's done for us. And in us, and glory to God. This and heaven. My goodness. My friend, we're on our way. Praise God. I meant to mention a while ago, this is the 44th annual Cherokee County Camp Meeting.
Amen.
Done some real checking back to be sure about the dates and the times and so. And so this is the 44th. Amen. There's some still around, older. I noticed Blue Ridge. I got a flyer on that this week. 60, I believe 66 years. And Greer's had their 70th this year, so we're still a baby, but we're here, amen.
Amen.
Amen. A lot of them have faded out. A lot of them have gone out. But I think you can look around here tonight and say that it's running well here at Cherokee County. I appreciate all that's done, and thank God for these supporting churches and pastors that stand with it through the years. And I didn't realize Brother Andy had surgery just a couple of weeks ago, and everything, we'll be praying for him. And I know he don't in the flesh don't feel like I'm sure being here, but I'm thankful that he loves the Lord and loves Camp Meeting.
Yes, sir.
So let's pray for his healing. Yes, God will continue to give him strength and healing. Now the rest of the week, got a couple of fellas coming in that's new to the Camp Meeting, never been here before. And so tomorrow night, Brother Alan Gully from Fullerton, Mississippi, will be here with us through Friday night. And if you don't like Brother Alan, and if you don't like Brother McNeese, I'll give you your money back. Amen. I believe you'll like that. Amen. Is that a good enough deal? Amen. Brother Dean McNeese will be here on Saturday and Sunday night. And some of you may not know him. I mean, I know him, but some of these preachers may not. But some of you may not. But anyway, Brother Allen will be driving in tomorrow from out that way, he and his wife. And so we're looking forward to him being here. And I assure you, you won't be disappointed. Amen. And this man and his ministry that God is using him. Amen. Brother McNeese at the end of the week. All right, we're glad to have the old faithful. Amen. Amen. Brother Milton Taylor.
Yes.
We appreciate Brother Milton Taylor, don't you?
Amen.
Yes, he is our Elijah. If we need weather conditions change, we just call him. Praise God. It can be snowing before the week's out. So he just somehow works. And well, we know. He keeps the throne room busy. Amen. And we know he's a prayer warrior and a dear servant of God, and we love Brother Milton Taylor. And Brother Milton, you come on and you give us what God's put in your heart for our heart. Amen. You come on, brother. We love him. Don't you appreciate him? And don't you thank God for him? I think it'd be all right. Thank God. Amen.
still good to be saved.
Yes,
I'm glad we have something that grows, never grows old. Thank God. I'm just glad about being saved, just as much glad about being saved now as I was when I got saved. 51 years ago. Amen. I looked at Brother Jarvis over there because I couldn't make out whether Brother Phillips was telling me to come or to go. I'm almost completely deaf, and so I was in a meeting. Brother Joel Wimpler was there too, and over at Ringo, Georgia. A huge crowd there, and I had the hardest time making out what was being said. So during one of the services, they said, "Won't all the young preachers stand up?" I didn't know that's what he said. I thought it all meant all the preachers stand up, so I stood up with them. I told Brother Mark Stroud, I said, "Man, about half the time in these meetings, I don't know whether to stand up, sit down, speak up, or shut up." All right. Not being able to hear almost got me into a choir off one time with this choir in a church that I wasn't even a member of. I won't take time to tell you how I got out of there. I just say this. I thought that song leader coming up behind me, and that's the worst time to talk to me is from the back, because I have to try to read lips some. I thought he said, "Would you like to join us in the prayer room?" I said, "Sure, I like that." I took off, went back there, and walked through the door, and there's a lady over there playing the piano, and I thought, that's strange. In a little while, there's people coming in from every direction, especially a lot of young people, and I was really getting impressed. I said, "Boy, this got to be a spiritual church. Look at all these people turning out to pray." I wasn't going to tell you all this, and now here I am telling you. But anyway, they started passing out sheet music. So I thought, well, I guess we're going to sing a little before we pray. That's what I thought. So I thought, well, I can't carry a tune in the bucket. I'm not going to sit here and sing by myself. I'm going over here and sit by this old gentleman over here. And I went over and sat down by him. And so help me, he said, "What part do you sing?" I said, "Any part." So we were singing away, you know. I think I had them all out of tune. Then finally he said, "I hope we sound as good out yonder." I felt sweat popping out all over my head. I knew then what he said. I said, "That man didn't say prayer room. He said choir room." Amen. All right. I didn't make it to the choir, thank God. Open your Bible to Matthew. Praise the Lord. It's good to be back here at this camp meeting. Good to see this tabernacle still full. Thank God. May God keep it that way. Folks, we need these meetings. We need one another more than ever before. We are in a war. I mean, the devil is doing all he can to try to destroy us. So we really need one another. Matthew 19, you don't need to stand because I want to read scripture from two chapters. Matthew 19, verse 16. "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep coming out." Let me say something here. He wasn't saying he wasn't good. what he was saying was this: if you don't recognize me anymore, then as just a good master, in other words, just a man, then don't call me good, because only God's good. Now, you and I know he was God. He was good, he was great, he was wonderful. And so the Bible says here, verse 18, he saith unto him, which Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. The young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What like I yet? And notice verse 21 closely. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor. And look at this statement. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Verse 22. And when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now go down to verse 27 for time's sake. Pay close attention to this verse. Then answered Peter and said unto him, talking to Jesus now, behold, we have forsaken all and follow thee. What shall we have therefore? Simon Peter heard what Jesus told that rich young ruler, that if he would sell what he had, give to the poor, follow him, he would have treasure in heaven and eternal life. And so Simon Peter thought, he wasn't willing to give up anything. He walked away sorrowful. We've given up everything, Simon Peter thought. So I wonder, what shall we have there for? In other words, what are we going to get out of this? Jesus could have said, whoever said you's going to get anything. See,
that's right. Yeah.
See, we're serving God for what we can get out of it. That's the wrong motive.
Right.
That's not right.
Yes.
See. And so Jesus answered Simon Peter's question. The Bible says in verse 28, and Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold in everlasting life. Well, that's not bad. Shall receive a hundredfold in everlasting life. Then in chapter 20, now the reason why I'm reading this parable in chapter 20, it goes with what I just said. It goes with what I said. As a matter of fact, hadn't been for what we have in chapter 19, you wouldn't have chapter 20. Not the parable. It's been called the parable of the laborers in the vineyard, beginning with verse 1 in chapter 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder. This is the man who owns that vineyard, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when it agreed, I want you to look at that word agreed. And when it agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. Verse 3, and it went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and then look at this thing. And whatsoever is right, I will give you. And it went their way. No agreement. No contract. They just went to the vineyard. Folks, this is a beautiful story now. Then notice the Bible says in verse 5, again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle. And said unto them, why stand you here all the day out? They said unto him, because no man has hired us. He said unto them, and Here's that statement again. Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. Whatsoever is right. So when the evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers, and give them the hire, beginning from the last unto the first. When it came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received of a man a penny. That's the Roman coin called the denarii. Verse 10. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured. They began to complain. They murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. Now look at verse 13, highly significant verse. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Amen. Now look at this. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto thee this life, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen. I want to preach with the help of God this evening on a timely subject. Are you bargaining with God? Are you bargaining with God? Our leaders of the word of prayers, I pray audibly, would you pray in your heart right there where you're sitting? Only God can make the service what it ought to be. So really get a hold of God now as I pray audibly. God, our Father, our God in heaven, God. Father, thank you, God, thank you for cooling it off. Father, I thank you, God, you meant what you said when you said what you did. Call unto me, and I will answer and show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not. Oh, God, thank you, Father. Thank you we got the same God Elijah had when he prayed it wouldn't rain and then prayed for it to rain and it did rain. God, I thank you. Thank you, God. You ain't changed a bit. You said, I'm the Lord thy God, I change not. Oh, God, thank you, Father. You didn't give us these promises to mock us. I think you meant what you said when you said what you did in these promises. Now, God, thank you for this camp meeting. Thank you for these our precious brothers and sisters in Christ. God, there's no people like your people, no family like your family, no one like you, Jesus. You're so precious. We love you. Forgive us for not loving you, but we should. Father, in Jesus' name, say to it that everyone that's come this evening and throughout the week get spiritual help. God, in Jesus' name, meet the spiritual needs of everyone here. And oh God, if there's one who lost, God save that soul. Don't let anybody in here die without God and go to hell. Please give all us a greater burden, a greater love for lost souls. Have stand between the living and the dead. Have stand in the gap, make up the heads in these days. Bless all these men of God. I thank you for every one of them. Bless their place of service. Bless their church. God, please now, just bless everyone here, and we'll thank you and have all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Yes, amen. Are you bargaining with God? You don't want to do that. You can do that and not even realize that you're doing it. Bargaining with God. To bargain with God is a lack of faith in God. Secondly, and worst of all, it is a lack of love for God. It is. Lack of love for God. Now, this parable is not based on a fictitious story. It's based on a real life situation. There were vineyards in those days, owners, laborers. You read about vineyards and grapes all through the Bible. So it's based on a real life situation. I'm going to give you three thoughts and I'll let you go. I want you to notice the setting. That is the occasion for this parable. And then the story, the parable itself, in light of all the significance of the parable, so far as you and I are concerned, I want to apply it to you and I. First of all, I notice the setting, the occasion for this parable. Let me throw this out before I forget it. You and I can't rightly understand a parable until we know the occasion for it. You can run into all kinds of complications, all kinds of problems trying to interpret a parable if you don't know the occasion. I give you a superlative example of what I'm talking about, and that's Luke 15. If you preach that that prodigal was a backslider, I'll sit there and listen, but I believe with all my heart he's a picture of a lost sinner just like the lost sheep and the lost corn is. See? The Bible said he spake this, not these. This is singular. He spake this parable singular. Doesn't have an S on it. It's one parable with three parts, just like a sermon with three parts. That's what it is. And you find the occasion for it, the key is right at the front door anyway. He was accused of receiving publicans and sinners, so he justified that. See, he wasn't saying one word about backsliders. Okay. And if you say it different, you're my friend. I love you. I ain't going to fall out with you or something like that. See. But anyway, coming back where we were, we see the setting, the occasion for this parable is simply Simon Peter's question, what shall we have therefore? See it in verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and follow thee. What shall we have therefore? What we're going to get out of it. Now, what caused him to ask that question is found back up here in verse 21 and 22. Jesus told that rich young ruler that if he sell all he had, give to the poor, and come follow him, he'd have treasure in heaven. Right. Of course, eternal life too. Simon Peter heard that. Oh, so he would have treasure in heaven if he forsook all, but he's not willing to forsake anything. And so Simon Peter began to surmise like this. He thought, well, if he wasn't willing to forsake anything and we've forsaken all, then I wonder what we're going to get out of this. Yeah. Yeah. So there's the occasion. There's the reason for this parable. Jesus never spoke anything at random. Jesus had a reason for everything he said. Yes, sir. Different reasons. So we've seen the occasion. We've seen the setting. Now notice the story of the parable itself, beginning with verse 1, chapter 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. Normally the work day then was from 6 in the morning to 6 in the evening. These owners would go down to the marketplace and hire people to go work in the vineyard, or people to go out and help harvest the wheat and the barley, whatever needed to be done, see. And so, no doubt he went at 6 o'clock in the morning, because the next time he went was 9 o'clock, then it went at 12 and 3 and 5. But notice the Bible says in verse 2, and when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. When he had agreed, these fellows said, they said, we want to sit in black and white. We want it on paper. We want a contract. We're not going to go until we know. We got to know what we're going to get out of this. Folks, you and I can have that spirit towards God if we're not careful. But anyway, coming back where we were. So there's a contract drawn up, so to speak. Then look at verse 3. And it went out the third hour, 9 o'clock in the morning, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And it went their way. I love that. And whatsoever is right, no contract, no agreement. No bargaining. Now this landlord, this owner here is a picture of our Lord. So I want to think he really had character, since he is a picture of our Lord. And I want to think that probably one of those laborers looked in his eyes, looked in his countenance and said, boys, look in his countenance. Look in his eyes. You can tell he's a man of integrity. You can tell he has character. You can tell he's an honest man. Let's forget about the contract and go on to the vineyard and go to work. I believe he'll do what's right.
Amen. Amen.
You better believe it will. Abraham said, shall not the God of all the earth do right? He's never done wrong and never will. Never will. That's the reason why you and I need to really read and study the Bible. Not just to get to know the Word of God, but to get to know the God of the Word. Because how in the world are you and I going to trust God if we don't know God? How are you going to have faith in somebody you don't know? You take this set of keys I've got here in my hand. I don't want to hand these keys to a total stranger in here tonight and say, hey, would you go down here and fill my truck up with gasoline? Oh, no. No. But it wouldn't bother me to hand it to Brother Phillips, Brother Kerrigan, or Brother Wampler, or some of you folks. That wouldn't bother me at all. Why? I know you. I think I do. No, these are good men. I would trust them with my keys any day. Yes, I would. Any day. See. Same way with God. Folks, faith is not a blind leap in the dark. And without faith, it's impossible. I mean, absolutely impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe. He must believe that he is. And that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So, boy, there's a great need in these days to get to know God better. That we might love him more. That we might trust him more. That we might obey him like we should. It all starts with getting to know God better. You read in the book of Hosea where God said, my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. I heard a preacher say one time, he said this, great preacher, he said, you say what you don't know won't hurt you. And then he immediately said, what you don't know can hurt you. When it comes to the things of God, when it comes to this book, what you don't know can hurt you, it can better hurt you. You take for just an example. Where do you think you'd be if you didn't believe in eternal security?
Yeah.
You probably wouldn't be in this meeting. See?
Right. Amen.
Yes. How firm a foundation is laid for our faith. Where in his word the old song goes?
Yeah.
In this book.
Yeah.
You and I better get this foundation under our feet.
Amen.
We're going to really need it from here on out.
Yeah.
It's bad out there. But anyway, coming back where we were. So there's a need to get to know God better.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
So we love him and touch him and obey him more. See.
Yes.
Amen. Oh my. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 11 verse 32, they that do know their God shall be strong and do it sports. If you and I are going to be strong Christians, do it sports, do something for God, then we got to know God. See.
Right.
We got to know him. See.
Yeah.
All right. Then I move on. The Bible says in verse 5, again he went out the sixth hour, that's 12 noon, and the ninth hour, that's 3 in the afternoon, and did likewise. Verse 6, this is unusual. In about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, and said unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They said unto him, because no man hath hired us. He said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. And they went on to the vineyard. Now, you and I are not accustomed to seeing a laborer. We're not, an owner. We're not accustomed to seeing a farmer or anybody like that, a plantation owner, go to the marketplace all through the day. Just keep on hiring people. But in the reason studying the gun over the years, I found out why. Why he did that. The hard rains in the Middle East would come right on the heels of the great harvest. And I found out that those hard rains would ruin those ripe grapes. And it just could be that the reason why he kept going back is he may have seen the clouds already making up in the west. Even at 11th hour, which is 5 o'clock in the evening. See, these folks not going to work for 1 hour. See, but they can gather some grapes, and it was highly important to the owner if the rain was on the way. See, so that explains that. See, this parable's not talking about salvation. It's talking about service. Thank God to those that get saved at the 11th hour. But that's not what this is talking about. It's talking about service, and especially, specifically, our motive for service. See, Jesus detected that Simon Peter had the wrong motive for going to the vineyard. And that was why he'd get out of it. Now notice the Bible tells us in verse 8. So when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard set unto his steward and called the laborers, giving them the hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they see they have a man of penny. Now this is interesting. Those that work 1 hour got as much as those that work 12 hours. This parable emphasizes what this whole dispensation emphasizes, and that's the grace of God. This is a dispensation of grace. You'll always get more in this dispensation if you forget about the contract and just go into the vineyard and trust God. Woo!
Yes.
He'll do what's right about you. You can trust him as your father. And he does more than just ride the trial. He really is a father to us. So they received him a man of petty. I can just imagine one of them fellas saying, "Do you see what I got?" And the other was saying, yeah, I got a penny too. They were probably shocked. Yes, and if you and I just trust God and forget about the contract, quit bargaining with God, you'd probably be shocked at what God will do on your behalf. Hallelujah. Yes. Holy God, Lamb fellow. So notice the Bible says down here, verse 9, and when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. And when the first came that supposed that they should ever see more, they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured. They began to complain. They got upset. They murmured against the good man of the house, saying, "These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day." But notice what the owner said. But he answered one of them and said, "Friend, I do thee no wrong." Notice what he said. "Didst not thou agree with me for a penny?" Now go back up to verse 2 again. And when it agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. Verse 2 sounds like that the owner's the one who wanted the contract. Not so. You interpret scripture with scripture. Verse 13 makes it clear and plain that the laborers are the one who wanted the contract. Notice he said, "Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny." The owner's saying, "You're the ones that had to know before you'd go. You had to know what you'd get out of it. You said, oh, we'll go. Put it on paper. Put it down in black and white. We'll go for a penny a day." That was an honest day's pay in that day and time for an honest day's work. See, we'll go for a penny. And so when pay up time came, they saw those who didn't have a contract getting just as much as they got, and they began to complain. They began to murmur. They found fault with the owner. But the owner said, No, I've not done anything wrong. I do thee no wrong. You're the one who wanted to know before you would go. I'm only giving you what you asked for. See, we don't need a contract, folks. We start bargaining with God, you're just going to cheat yourself. We just don't realize how much God loves us. We don't realize how generous God is. That prodigal son, which is a picture, I believe, a lost person, came home in Luke 15. Man, he got it all right there. He didn't get the ring today and the robe tomorrow and the fatted calf 10 years down the road. No, he got it all right there. That other one out there was complaining. He said, "You never gave me a kid and I might make marry my friends." He said, "Y'all are in there eating steak." He said, "You won't even give me a goat." You know what the father told him? He said, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have, all that I have is thine." Woo! That ain't no spiritual type one. That ain't no spiritual skin flint. We've been blessed. We've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. 2 Peter 1:3, according to his divine power, hath given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. You got it all in Jesus. You ain't expecting it all. I ain't neither. If you were, you'd probably die of mere joy. Folks, this ain't the dispensation of the law. It's the dispensation of grace. And by the way, that'll make you lawful, by the way. Amen. There's no license for sin. You can forget that. I never forget when God saved me. Some of you have heard a life story done by the Pacific God Mission on program Unshackled. I spent a lot of rejection when I was a kid. My brother, he was 16 months older than I am. So when I came along, mother was hoping I'd be a girl. But I missed it a long ways. I weighed 12 pounds. And that's no lie. It's honest truth. And they used faucet to bring me in the world. And it damaged my mother's health. It really did. And in due time, I realized my daddy was blaming me for that. And I realized that he didn't want me. Mother wanted a girl, and daddy didn't want me at all. I spent a lot of rejection, a lot of hurt, a lot of pain when I was a kid coming up. And as I got older, I'd run away from home. I'd hide under the house. The last time I ran away from home, I started to never come back. Because he had told me right there in the house that I hadn't done anything wrong. He was just mean. He said, "I'll kill you." I knew in minutes, just like somebody put a knife in my heart, see. See, his daddy was a drunk all his life, abused him and made him mean. Made him that way, see. And his nickname was Hot, and he lived up to it. We didn't have time to turn around. He's in a fight with somebody. You couldn't reason with him. The only way he knew how to reason was to pull a gun out or pull out his pocket knife. He kept a tree brand pocket knife in his pocket and kept it razor sharp, and he'd cut you in a heartbeat if you messed with him. You couldn't reason with him. I mean, when I was a kid, I saw my daddy beat a woman over the head with a walking cane in our house. Then one day out in front of the house, he beat a man over the head. I can tell you his name because it's not going to get daddy in trouble because daddy's already deceased. He's gone. But a man's name was Charlie Johnson. He beat the man over the head with a walking cane, beat him down to his knees. And then after that, that man began to have epileptic fits and that man died. See? I never get the time when my daddy beat me, left marks on me back in those days, beat me. I mean hard, beat me, see. And again, I didn't do anything wrong. My brother started to fight, and I was trying to avoid it. And daddy jumped on me, didn't even touch him, see. So it became very apparent to me as I got older that I was an unwanted child by my daddy. And all that rejection drove me to drinking and drove me into a life of wickedness and debauchery, a life of sin. I mean, just, I won't go into details, don't have to. The blood of Jesus cleansed from all sin. But I was as sore as they come before God saved my soul. I mean, just downright sore, just wicked. See, but then God saved my soul. I was 20 years old. God saved my soul. And I just fell in love with Jesus because it was like this. Here's somebody that loves me. Here's somebody that wants me. So I just fell in love with Jesus. I'm telling you, every time the doors to the church was open, I was there. Every time there was a revival meeting in the church in that neighborhood, I was there. I didn't want to miss anything. I just couldn't get enough. Couldn't get enough, see. And I loved Jesus. Now watch this. I hadn't been saved but a few weeks and the phone rang. One of the leaders, one of the deacons, I guess it was, in the First Baptist Church in Pinehurst. It was just a little small church because Pinehurst is just a spot in the road. He called and said, "Would you come preach for us on Sunday?" My heart went all up my throat. Because I didn't have any self-confidence. I didn't have any self-esteem. My daddy destroyed all that. See, destroyed it. I remember one time getting up before the high school where I finally graduated. No, I didn't graduate. They just gave me a paper and sent me on. I didn't graduate. You don't graduate when you got L's all the way across the report card. I didn't have no encouragement in those days to study or do anything. See. But anyway, I remember trying to stand up before the people there in the high school one time. I had to say some things and I just choked up and had to sit down. I couldn't do it. Stage fright. I was scared to death. See, I just couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. Now this man's asking me to preach. I tell you what I did. I started to say no. But about the time I started to say no, I'm telling you, if it ever seemed like Jesus walked up by my side, it was right there.
Amen.
I mean, he was right there. And here's what he said. He said, "How can you say no after what I've just done for you? How can you say no? You felt so unwanted, so rejected, so unloved, and I loved you and I've accepted you, I've saved you." Buddy, when he did that, I told that man on the other end of that phone, I said, "I don't feel I can do both services, but I'll take that night service. I'll take that night service." Rest of the week, I was scared to death. I didn't even know what homiletics was. But I took a few thoughts and tried to put them together and heard other preachers saying some things I saw in the Bible and got me some illustrations and all, you know, and went to church that night. I walked in the church and lo and behold, the thing was packed. Somebody had got the word out that old Milton Taylor, that old backwards country boy, was going to preach Sunday night. It was packed. And so when it came time for me to preach, they called me up to the pulpit. I walked up there, scared to death. I opened my Bible, and I remember I said two words and I stopped for just a moment. And nobody knows what I said, nobody knows what I did, but in my heart, I said, "Thank you, Jesus, because I knew I wasn't in that pulpit by myself." And I'm telling you, I preached a while and I cried a while. I preached a while and I cried a while. Holy God. And I got them preaching. They lined up all the way back up the aisles, weeping and crying, coming forward. When the service was all over with, went back to the house. I went to bed. I do not remember having slept 1 minute that night. I'm sure I probably did. But I do remember the main thing I did that night. I laid in that bed and preached all night long. All night long. I knew God had not only saved me but called me to preach. I didn't run one day. No, if God had to call me to preach, I'd be going to call myself. But I didn't bargain with God. I didn't say, "God, I'll go to church. I'll live for you and I'll serve you if you won't call me to preach." No. No contract. No. No. No, let's just go on to the vineyard. Hallelujah. He'll do what's right. So,
amen.
I remember the first church I pastored was a little halftime church. We had about 20, 21 members. They gave me $50 every other week. We never discussed the salary. I didn't care about discussing the salary. I was just so glad that God let me do something for Jesus. I remember the second church I pastored. It was a full-time church. Spring Creek Baptist Church down in southwest corner of Georgia, just below Donaldsonville. Down there where that big lake is, Lake Seminole. And they gave me $75 a week to furnish my own home, a 12 by 52 home, but I never complained. I never said, "Y'all not paying me enough." No, I was just so happy to get to do something for Jesus. Boy, I didn't want a contract. I didn't need a contract. I didn't say, "God, I'll go and preach. I'll pastor. If you'll let me pastor a big church with a big salary and a nice pastor and a furnished new car every year and new clothes and good food." No, no, no contract. I just took off and went. You don't need a contract. If you love Jesus, you'll go on anyway. Woo! Hard to say no to somebody who loves you. Many waters cannot quench love, folks. Amen. See. Throw your contract away. You don't have to know in order to go. No, you don't have to do that. We've seen the setting, the occasion for the parable. We've seen the story. Now notice the significance so far as you and I are concerned. I'm just going to make some simple statements. It'll help you and I to see whether we're bargaining with God or not. Number one, Lord, I serve you. If you won't call me to preach, that's bargaining with God. Lord, I'll serve you if you won't send me to the mission field. That's bargaining with God. Lord, I'll serve you if you'll save my wife or save my husband. What if you don't? Are you going to quit? You won't quit if you love Jesus. Lord, I'll serve you if you'll bring my wife back or bring my husband back. What if he doesn't? Are you going to quit? Lord, I'll serve you if you'll save all my children. Lord, I'll serve you if you'll heal my child. You'll be surprised how many people have left the church and slammed the doors in God's face and have not come back yet because God didn't heal one of the children that was sick. Reminds me so much of a true story that's really happened. This dear lady, her son died, and she said to her pastor, said, where was God when my son died? And that preacher just very humbly and tactfully said, he was in the same place he was when his son died. I heard. Here's a big one. Lord, I'll serve you if you'll heal my wife. Or you'll heal my husband. I'll serve you if you won't let my wife die. You won't let my husband die. See, I know a young man, good young man, whose wife's in the intensive care over there in Greenville right now. She's dying. She's coughing up, spitting up blood. Oh, God. Pray for that one. And I never forget when our son was born. My wife couldn't give birth to him. They induced hard labor. I'm not exaggerating. I watched my wife go through agony, torment. She was in hard labor for 3.5 days. That's the honest truth. Her whole countenance changed. She looked like she's dying. We were using an old rundown hospital down there in Donaldsonville, Georgia. It was an old renovated schoolhouse, so you can imagine what it was. Not much of a hospital. And the doctor, he seemed to be so limited when it came to medical science. And so they kept putting it off. And finally, they did do a C-section, a cesarean. And when they rolled her in the operating room, I stood in the hallway. And all of a sudden, during the operation, the doors to that operating room burst open. And two nurses came running out and grabbed the oxygen bottle, which was sitting, of all things, in the hallway instead of the operating room. And they grabbed that bottle and they couldn't pick it up. But those two ladies, those two nurses, leaned it over like this, you know, and began to roll it on the end like that. And when they went through that door, both of them looked back at the same time and looked right at me. And I believe I read the Bible. I believe they were thinking this. I wish he didn't say this. I wish he didn't say this. But I did. And you know what I thought? I thought my wife has died. My wife has died. That's what I thought after what we'd been through for 3.5 days. I just knew she was dying. So I walked in the room they were going to put her in after she was to come out of surgery. And I walked up to the window. And I looked out the window. And from my heart I said, God. I said, God, you gave me Ellen. You gave me my wife. You can take her if you want to, but by your grace, I'm still going to live for you and serve you. I'm still going to serve you. Amen. I didn't bargain with God. I didn't say, God, if you'll heal my wife, I'll serve you. I said, by the grace of God, I'm going to serve you anyway. Amen. I refuse to bargain with God. I refuse to draw up a contract. Amen. God let her live. My son nearly died, and God let him live. It was nearly a month before we walked out of that hospital, but it finally we went home. Amen. I refused to bargain with God. You don't want to bargain with God. Man, Abraham was right. Shall not the God of all the earth do right? He'll do right. He ain't never done wrong. Never will do wrong.
See?
And I'm done. Here's a big one for you young people. For you, those of you that's not married yet. Here's a big one. You'd be surprised how many people have bargained with God on this one. God, I'll serve you as you'll let me marry her. Now, God, I'll serve you if you'll let me marry him.
What if you don't?
You're going to quit. I know a young man right now who was dating a girl who was supposed to have been so spiritual. But when that young man broke up with her, she went shipwrecked. I'm going to tell you something, Honor. You know what that tells me?
She loved him more than him. If you and I love Jesus like we ought to, and love Jesus more than him or her, and when they drop you like a hot potato, and I've been down that road before a long time ago, before I met the good wife I've got now, then I'm going to tell you what, when Sunday comes around, you'll be in church.
You're not going to throw in the towel. You're not going to slam the door in God's face. Not if you love Jesus. No, I tell you what you might want to do this evening. You might want to just come to this altar. If you got a contract, you bargain with God about something like, you know, like saying, God, I'll serve you if you'll heal my child, or God, I'll serve you if you'll take these handicaps away, or God, I'll serve you if you'll bring my husband or wife back. You might want to come to this altar and tear up the contract. Just come down here and tear it up. And say, God, whether you do what I think you ought to do or not,
I'm yours. I'll be in church Sunday and the following Sunday. I'm not going to quit by the grace of God. I'm still going to live for you.
Amen. Would you stand your feet? Head bowed, eyes closed. Musicians are come. Some of you may want to come to the altar while I'm praying.
Tear up that contract. You don't need a contract. That's a lack of faith in God and a lack of love for God. Our Father, oh God, Father, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for your love. Oh God, thank you for love that will not let us go. Thank you for love that passeth knowledge. Thank you, Jesus said that the world may know that thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. God, thank you, God, that we love you because you first loved us. Oh God, thank you, God, for so great a salvation. Thank you for saving our souls. Father, with one intercession lost, God, save that soul. God, help all us to throw our contracts away and just go on and trust you, God. Oh, God, I thank you, God. You'll never do wrong. You never have, never will. Continue to bless in this meeting in Jesus' name. Amen.